This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. My beloved brothers in Islam, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. How's everybody doing? Alhamdulillah, night number 11, and we are in the second third of the month of Ramadan. And as I said before, that it's usually this third that that becomes neglected in a way. This third of the month of Ramadan is the one that we sort of lose focus. So subhanAllah, it's part of getting to the last 10 nights in the best of frame of mind is what we do in this third, this middle section. Don't lose focus and do the best you can do. It's also the section of forgiveness, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases in the forgiveness of those who ask Allah. So let's make sure, ameen, may Allah grant that all of us are exempted and expiated from our sins. Ameen. Yesterday we touched on the ayah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the Bani Israel, you challenged me, you asked me a question, I answered your question. Now say, وَقُلِ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ. Say that the truth is from Allah. فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ. So whoever of you wishes, let him believe. And whoever of you wishes, let him disbelieve. The choice is yours. You have the option in what you wish to do. And this opens a door into the question of qadr, predestination, free will and destiny. We know from our initial discussion, there are six pillars of iman, six things you have to believe to be a Muslim. The last one of them, the final one, is iman bil qadr, belief in predestination, khayrihi wa sharrihi min Allah. The good of it and the evil of it is from Allah. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala predestined everything. This is an article of our faith, one of the essentials of being a Muslim. And why we go off in this tangent to discuss this evening is because something big is happening, going to come up in the next couple of weeks. Few days time, a massive event with regards to destiny, the night of Al-Qadr, is on our doorstep. So we need to understand the implications thereof. So how do we understand so destiny, basically in the English terminology, predestination or destiny or fate, what is it? It basically means that everything before you were born was put out for you. All your decisions, all the events that's going to happen in your life was determined before you were born or created. Right? You, like a script. There was a script for you and you follow that script. On the other side, you have free will, where nothing has been determined, nothing has been predestined, and as you do things, you make your own choices. Now what do we believe as Muslims? Which of the two do we believe? What do you think? Do we believe that our entire life is scripted, everything that we do has been destined before? Or do we have free will and everything is in our hands? What do you think it is? Somebody? So the one brother says he is on the view that it is predestined, it's been decided before. Someone else, do you all agree? Is there only one madhab here? Do we all agree with that madhab? Or is there a different madhab? It would be very strange if you only have one madhab, right? Both, the brother says, no, not neither, I believe in both. And that's the correct, that's the madhab of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Understand that this is one of the most controversial issues in theology. Not just in Islam, all religion, in fact all people struggle with this. Anyone that believes in a creator has this problem, you know. Because part of Allah's perfection is that nothing can happen without His decree, right? Allah's perfect. Nothing can happen without God's will. And then if we say that, then we begin to get into this discussion in our minds. Well, if Allah decided, if I'm going to be a believer, disbeliever, I'm going to Jannah or Jahannam, how is that my fault? It was Allah that decided I'm coming to the masjid or not. It was Allah that decided if I'm going to be a believer or disbeliever, I'm going to be charitable or not. So everything is ultimately in Allah's hands. Now we have this internal conflict. And these debates have gone on for thousands of years. So there are two extremes. There's one extreme called Jabr, where everything, you are on a conveyor belt. You have no choice, and they say, this group will describe, they say, you are like leaves on a tree. The wind blows you. You have every movement, this is by the wind. You have no, any control at all. The other group is of course complete freedom. They were called the Qadari or the Jahmiyyah. Complete freedom. Both these groups we reject. Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we say we believe in both. Allah predestined everything, and everything you have free will. Now, let's discuss each one individually, and then we'll explain how both is possible. So let's prove that Islam believes in both. Let's give evidences for this. As we said, one of the themes of Surah Al-Kahf, when we speak of Allah, we speak with evidence. So I need to give you evidence for that, right? You must start getting into that motion whenever someone, you know, the imam, with respect, can you give me evidence for that, please? Can you give me a reference for that? This is part of how we protect ourselves. So our belief with regards to Allah's destiny, predestination, is four levels. So in your mind, you picture this. what is this issue of predestination? There are two sides of it, two sides of the coin. There is destiny and there's free will. Destiny is broken down onto four levels. We believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has knowledge of everything. Right? That's no problem. Everyone understands that. Allah knows the future, the present, the past. Allah knows every single scenario possibility. If the sun, you know, if it was 1 degree hotter, what would be the impact? If 1% more rain fell here, what would be the impact? Every possible scenario, Allah has all that, all the permutations. Allah knows all of that. Before He created everything, Allah knew that. That's fine. No one can argue with that. Then we believe, number two, Allah created this thing called the qalam, the pen of the first creations. And Allah said, now inscribe, write all of my knowledge down in a book. Right, so the second level is Allah wrote down everything. The third level, Allah looked at all the different permutations, and this is the controversial one, and He decided which ones will happen and which will not happen. He decreed some of them to occur and some not to occur. And then Allah, at the fourth level, He actually created what He willed. He chose the ones He chose. So they could have been this kind of Muhammad, or that kind. He could have been a tall Muhammad, a thin Muhammad, whatever kind, but He chose, this is the one I'm going to create. Right? That's the kind of Muhammad I'm going to create. Now, evidence for this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, Surah Hadid, مَا أَصَابَ مِن مُصِيبَةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مِّن قَبْلٍ, that no disaster befalls upon you on the earth or within yourselves, except that it is in a register from before, meaning before you were created, before we bring it into being. And indeed that is easy for Allah. So it's very, very clear that all of this has been written down before it actually occurred. And Allah says, إِنَّ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقْنَاهُ بِقَدَرٍ, indeed everything we have created it, with qadar, with predestination. Everything has been prefated already. And even more explicitly, the Prophet, peace be upon him, says, Allah had written the measurements of the creatures, of all things, the rizq, the future of everything, Allah wrote it down 50,000 years before He created the heavens and the earth. Before He created anything, He already wrote it down. And His throne, Allah's throne, is above water. In another hadith it says, and the pages of destiny are dried. The ink was written, khalas, it's dried, permanent ink. Now, when we look at these evidences, it appears like there's no room for free will, yes? When you look at these evidences, it looks as zero room for free will. Yet at the same time, you find in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, like we mentioned in the ayah, Surah Al-Kahf, whoever of you wants to believe, believe. Whoever of you don't want to believe, you have the will, you have the choice. The choice is yours. In another ayah, Surah Takwir, Allah says, لِمَنْ شَاءَ مِنْكُمْ أَن يَسْتَقِيمْ, whoever of you wants to be righteous, be righteous. It's in your hands. So Allah has given evidences to that. Look at this hadith, even more explicit, in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim. Now, before I mention the hadith, one thing that if I ask all of you now, you will say, if I ask you, your death, is that something you can change? Or you say your death is itchasit. The date, place, how you're going to die, is that something that you believe is changeable? Look at this hadith. Allah says, this is the Prophet says, Bukhari Muslim, whoever would like his rizq to be increased and his lifespan to be extended, his life to be extended, should uphold the ties of kinship. Meaning, Allah decreed for you 50 years, you can actually increase it to 70 years by keeping the ties of kinship. So if your death, even your expiration date, can be extended, means everything that is predestined, you have some influence in it. So from this, there's evidences that there is definitely predestination, and there's evidences that we have free will. How do we join them? And that this question, how they both interact with one another, is not a very important question to understand. I don't have to understand how this mic, the science behind the mic, how it goes, my voice goes in, it amplifies. I don't have to know how it works. You just know how to live with it, use it. But the ulama have gone into and theorized, look, this is one of the deep mysteries of Allah. But the ulama have come up with some things to make our minds put at ease, so that you don't spend all night tonight thinking about this, you know, bothers you, how does this work? So they give some examples. One example is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has mapped out all the different courses you could take. If you make this choice, like a flowchart, if you do this, yes, no, this is what's going to happen. The implications are mapped out. But you still make the choices. The destination was pre-mapped out. Are you with me? You understand? Like that GPS map. You decide the turns you take, but ultimately the destination has been pre-mapped. But the choices, the turns you make, those are yours. Maybe a very easy one, I love to use this example, it's very simple, to just show you in your everyday life. I always ask you, the clothes you're wearing right now, who chose it for you? Either you chose it or your wife chose it for you, right? It was someone chose that, took out the cupboard, you had a list of clothes, you had a set of clothes, you chose one outfit. But if it was storming, snowing outside, you would probably be wearing something else. Yes, you would have chosen a different outfit. Now, that choice you made was your choice, but it was influenced by Allah's decree. Allah decreed the weather. You didn't control that. So in one choice, you had your free will, but it was dependent on a decision Allah made. And Allah's basically saying, your whole life is based on that. You work hard and you get, inshallah, you do well in school, but ultimately, what family you are born into, what economic situation you have, what environment you are, these are all going to influence you. Meaning you're constantly influenced by external factors. Allah's qadr is always influencing you while you still have the ability to make the choice. So that's how we understand it. This is a very beautiful, very scary and a very beautiful ayah as well. Allah says about the Bani Israel, فَلَمَّا زَاغُوا أَزَاغَ اللَّهُ قُلُوبَهُمْ, that once they turned away from me, I turned them further away. Meaning, when you choose a course of good or bad, Allah makes it easier for you to get to that destination. So you decide, okay, I want to become a better person. When you come walking to Allah, Allah runs to you. Now Allah puts in your way reminders that you didn't expect. Allah opens doors for you that were not there meant initially for you, but because you made the right choice, Allah facilitated for you. You gave charity. Now Allah opens up a new door of rizq so you can give more charity and so forth. Same with sin. You do one mistake and then Allah says, fine, you've turned away from me. Now I will bring external influences to make things even worse for you. So that's how we have to understand these things. Ultimately, we said, this is a very unique situation. There are only two creations that we know that has this. Only us and jinn. Every other creation of Allah's creations, like the sun, the moon, completely compelled. They submit without any choice. Allah has given us and jinn the ability to choose. Very unique creations. That's why the angels were like scratching their head and they said, ya Allah, why will you create these people? Why will you go through this experiment again? We saw with the jinn what happened. Didn't work out. What about these creations of this creation of Adam? You're going to do it again? So Allah says, I know something of them you don't know. I have, you know, there's some goodness in them that you don't know. So, how do we apply this qadr in our daily lives? Very simple. We live our life as if though every choice is in our hands. When you go and seek rizq, don't say, well, Allah provides, so I'm not going to do anything. That's laziness. That's not iman. That's not iman. That's laziness. When you are sick, you go and search for the cure. When you in your mind, you take it, my position in Jannah or Jahannam has not been decreed. It's up to me. I need to plant my seeds in Jannah. I need to save myself from Jahannam. It's in my hands. So you work hard in this dunya for the outcome. You don't say, well, mom and dad, why must I study? I'm a man of iman. Allah has decided whether I'm going to pass or not. This is iman. That's not iman, that's laziness. Right? So you work hard as if those, I'm going to pass the exam. Everything, all possibilities are open. But once the outcome has been given, once after you've worked so hard, and you put everything in your power, but the result came out in a certain way, either you succeeded, you don't say, ah, it was my hard work. You say, no, Allah decreed this for me. Or if you failed, you say, I've done my best, but this was a decree of Allah. That when you've taken all the precautions and the doctor says, well, there's nothing we can do, that, you know, so and so has passed away now, it's nothing I can do, we say, alhamdulillah, we accept the decree of Allah. So in life, you live by doing this, by working as if though you have the choice. But when the result appears itself, we attribute the result to Allah. And we are we're not a people of regret. We never ever live in the regrets. Prophet, peace be upon him, says, never ever say, if only so and so, if only, you know, if only I was in this area, or I was from this family, or I had this surname, or I went to that university, then my life would have been sorted out. That is not the way of a believer. Allah has decreed a set of circumstances for you. Knowing that everyone has got the circumstances to succeed in this dunya, in the dunya and the akhirah. Allah has made a way for all of us. Allah does not burden anyone beyond their ability. So work hard in the dunya and strive hard to attain that for the dunya and the akhirah. Now I move on to Laylatul Qadr. How does Laylatul Qadr fit in this whole picture? The night of Qadr, the night of destiny. So like we said, Allah determines things, but you also have input. Once a year, there's a gathering. All the angels get together with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah gives them the decrees for the year to come. The angels don't know the future. The angels don't know. The angel of death, he does not know whose souls I'm going to pull when and where. This is given to him by Allah. And it's understood that it is on this night, as Allah subhanahu says in Surah Al-Dukhan, indeed we sent the Quran down during a blessed night. Indeed we were to warn mankind. On this night, on the night when the Quran was revealed, is made distinct every precise matter. Allah will make clear the matters of Qadr. To whom? To the angels. So the angels will be informed on this coming evening or this night in the next couple of days, one of these evenings, who's going to get rizq, who's going to get health, who's going to get death, who's going to be successful in the dunya, who's going to fail in the dunya, who's going to live, who's going to die. All of us, we are going to be on a list. Every single one of us sitting here, we are going to be on, our names, our family members are going to be on one of these lists. For good or for bad, we don't know. It's Qadr, Allah determined it. But Allah gave us the opportunity to have our input on it. We can make dua. The Prophet, peace be upon him, says nothing changes Qadr except dua. So your du'as, and now is the time, now in Ramadan when your du'as, my du'as are accepted, now is the time, just think about this, you know, sometimes we don't appreciate this. You know, if we had the president on speed dial, and he said, just ask me, it will happen. We'll believe, hey, I've got a connection. Allah's saying, you've got me basically on speed dial. If you want some, your life, you don't see a way out financially, or medically, or whatever, just make du'a. Let Allah decree, say, Ya Allah, whatever you decree for me in this year to come, let it be the best. Decree for me piety, decree for me health, decree for me barakah in my money, in my children, in everything, in my exams. Make that dua. At least you've got that opportunity. I've got that opportunity, and it's coming up now. It's coming up now. In the next week or two, this night of decree is going to come. And this night, we said, not only because this night is so special and holy, there's some massive event that's going to occur. Like, you know, the budget, the parliament gets together. The angel parliament is all getting together. Some amazing things happen on that evening. On that evening, as we said, all the angels will receive their decrees. But they will come to the dunya. They will all descend to the earth. And Allah says, salam, there will be complete mercy and forgiveness. So there's a night in the next few 20 nights, or the next few 19 nights, where there's complete mercy and forgiveness. If you make dua, Allah subhanahu will forgive. So there's a night of amnesty. And whoever prays any type of salah with iman, he prays even if it's just two raka'ahs, with proper iman, Allah will forgive all that sins. And then the greatest reward, and I end off with this great, great reward. When Allah describes Laylatul Qadr, what does Allah say? وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ. What will truly and make you understand, appreciate the greatness of it? What is it? خَيْرٌ مِنْ أَلْفِ شَهَرٍ. It is better than 1,000 months. What does this mean? Perhaps the best example I can give, think about your salary. Anyone want to tell me what their monthly salary is here? No. Alright, so if it's 10,000 Rand, you earn 10,000 Rand a month, well, alhamdulillah, Allah says, I'm going to multiply that by 1,000. For one evening's work, from Maghrib until Isha, from Maghrib until Fajr, if you put effort in that one night, with sincerity, I'm going to multiply. So you'll get, instead of getting 10,000, what's 10,000 times 1,000? 10 million. You're going to get 10 million rand. If your boss told you, and I mean, this is where our iman needs to get to. We need to believe this. Allah is telling you and me. In the next two and a half weeks, there's a night that if you work hard, sincerely on that night, your monthly salary will be multiplied by 1,000. You'll get 10 million, 20 million, whatever, 5 million, whatever it is. How would we work? How would we strive? What effort would we make? Right? And that's just for the dunya. Allah is talking about 1,000 months of akhirah rewards. If your boss gave you a 1,000 month salary, it's a lifetime, right? You say, it sets me up. I can retire after that night. I can retire. That's the same with this. If you catch Laylatul Qadr, I catch it once in my life, so long as I don't squander it, waste it, I've set myself up for the akhirah. My pension, my qiyamah pension is there. It's done. My place is done. I have achieved it. I don't have to slog for another 83 years of iman, 83 years of worship. I have the reward of it. I just don't have to waste it through sin. But that's what Allah is giving you. A lifetime gift is coming up in the next 2.5 weeks. We don't know the night, because every night, and don't take it that it's only the last 10 nights. It could even be Unlikely, but possible to even happen before the last 10 nights, but most likely in the last 10 nights. So may Allah grant us only goodness in our books of decree. May Allah grant us only success in this little Qadr. We don't know, Ya Allah, if this is our last Ramadan, but if it is our last Ramadan, let us all capture Laylatul Qadr. Put on our scales that reward of 1,000 months, Ya Allah. And let none of us leave this month except that we are forgiven of all our sins. Ameen. Tomorrow we'll continue Surah Al-Kahf. We are now on our fourth section of the Surah, The Man with Two Gardens. And this is perhaps the story which is most relevant to us today. One of the most relevant stories of Surah Al-Kahf. We'll discuss that tomorrow, inshaAllah. Questions? Last night we asked, what is the highest level in Jannah? We said the highest level in Jannah is Jannatul Firdaus. And we said, what is the true night of... No, that's a wrong question. The question was, what is the tree that grows in Jahannam? And that tree is Zakum, the tree of Zakum. And then tonight, inshaAllah, tonight's question is, what is true? So which of these are true with regards to Laylatul Qadr, or the night of decree? Which of them is true? Is Laylatul Qadr on the 15th of Sha'ban? Yes or no? Is it true that Laylatul Qadr is always in the last 10 nights of Ramadan? Is it always on the 27th of Ramadan? Was the Quran revealed on it? So which of those four options is correct? Any questions or concerns, wishmuhammad@gmail.com. One last quick message. Announcements. I just want to spend this time to say Jazakallah khair, may Allah reward you. We had two great events. One was the masjid ceiling was damaged through rain. Alhamdulillah, within 2 days, everyone oversubscribed. We've received, people have donated so much. And I like to think that because, you know how these investment houses, they will say since 18 or 15, whatever it might be, 1925. So we can say this masjid for the last 150 years has been giving returns to those who have invested in this masjid. Those dividends have been paid. The Bukhab Masajid have a track record of returns. So alhamdulillah, within 2 days, that funds was raised. And alhamdulillah, we'll repair the roof. But you can continue giving to our nursery school that's also been here for many, many decades. Continues to teach small kids the basics of Islam. So that's another Sadaqul Jariyah that you could contribute towards. And we had our orphan iftar this evening. So for those who have contributed, may Allah reward and accept from us. And may Allah grant blessings to our orphans. And may Allah make it easy for them. Ameen. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.